Well, here we are in between Christmas and New Year's, and some of you might have already asked the question,
What do we do
now?
What?
This is audience participation. How many of you have already taken down your Christmas
Okay,
decoration? A few
Christians.
of you. I'm going to guess that if I ask the question, how many of you still have it up, the rest of you would. Okay. Ours is still up, mainly because we're just too lazy to take it down right now. Check with us back in March. It should be that. But after Christmas, it can be a time of let down as we go through cleaning up, and we got to have our daughters. Tammy has two, I have two son-in-laws, and our favorites, the grandchildren, were there. Riley is 8 and Anderson is 3. So what a great age. And of course they get presents from everyone. So there's about 30 minutes of them unwrapping presents and about 2.5 of the rest of us. Okay, yeah, we got, okay, thanks. As we prepare for a new year, I just want us to, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Micah. It's towards the end of the Old Testament, to the 6th chapter. And Micah was a prophet to the Israelites. And so he has used his words to talk about, how God has taken us through so many things. And so in Micah, the 6th chapter, starting in verse 3, God asked the question through Micah, "My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord." Now, once again, the Israelites have wandered away from God. When you read through the Old Testament, you think about that, you think, man, this must have happened like every other month. The Israelites are, nope, we're not going to worship God. Nope, we're not going to do that. And then something bad, it's not every other month, but it's been several times. And so God is just reminding them, kind of back from the very start, "I brought you out of slavery in Egypt. I did this for you. I did that for you." And when he talks about, "My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered." Those stories are found in Numbers 22 and 23. And they just keep going back and forth between Balak and Balaam. "I brought you here to bless my people and curse the enemies. You're doing just the opposite. Well, if you would do this," and it just goes back and forth. And then how God led them finally into the promised land. And so, in thinking about that, what has God done for us? And I just jotted just three of them down. The first is that he loves us and he likes us. And John 3:16, We all know that, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. So God loves us. And if you've been in church more than three times, I hope you've heard that more than three times, that God loves you. God loves me. But you know what? He also likes us. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I love him, but I don't like him very much? And I used to think, is that really possible? And then it was though the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and reminded me that my own mother said those words to me when I was growing up. Perry David, I love you, but I don't like you very much right now. And I knew that my behavior had better change or there would be consequences. And they were never fun consequences. It wasn't like they ever just gave me a couple of dollars or let's go get some ice cream. No, it was usually being spanked or sent to my room. And you know, you did those things. You were in your room. You got spanked. Well, some of you, the younger ones are, what's that? Spanked? What does that mean? But anyway, in Psalms 23, it's probably as well known as John 3:16, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And then towards the end of it, he says, you have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. And for a long time, I just thought that meant my cup overflows with blessings. But I found out that there was a tradition in the time of David when he wrote this, that if you were invited to someone's home for a meal, you would be given enough drink to get you through that meal. And then after the meal, your host or hostess would refill your glass according to how long they wanted you to stay and visit. If your glass was not refilled, you knew it was time to thank them for the meal and head on home. If it was filled partway, you could stay for a while. But if they filled it to the top, you knew that you were welcome to stay as long as you possibly could. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. God wants fellowship with us. He wants time with us. He treasures that. We should treasure that. Another thing that God does for us, he forgives our sins. Psalm 103:12 says that he removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. East, west. But that's how far he does it. You know, I always tell... about when I was growing up, I never got in trouble for one thing because my parents never forgot anything that I had ever done. So whatever I got in trouble for, they would always add, and yesterday you didn't do, and Thursday you didn't take the, but you know what? Hebrews 8:12 says, he forgives our wickedness and will remember our sins no more.
Is God forgetful?
Only because he chooses to. When I first realized this, I thought of how many times I'd done something wrong and would go to God and say, please forgive me because I did this or didn't do that. And I would do it more than once. And it was as though I pictured God sitting on his throne, me going to him, bowing down, saying, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for this. And him saying, what? You did what? I don't remember.
I wish that my parents had that ability,
but they didn't. And so he forgives our sins and forgets. And there are several scriptures for this next one. He is always with us. Deuteronomy 31:8 is one of the first scriptures that talks about the fact that God is always with us. He will not forsake us. And I know that there are times that you might feel all by yourself. And sometimes that can happen in a crowd of people. We can feel so lonely and so alone that nobody loves us, nobody cares for us, nobody knows who we are. But God has promised us. I want you to think just for a couple of minutes, what has God done for you this year? Did he keep you healthy? Or even if you got sick, are you well now? Did he keep you safe? Were you in any car wrecks this last year? Did you survive them if you were? I wasn't in any car wrecks, but my wife acts like I'm going to be in one at any time. I have a tendency to kind of drive where I look. And so I wasn't in any, well, yeah, kind of a couple of, we won't talk about that. But it just involved us, not anybody else. But the fellowship that we enjoy, I always love the time of fellowship. I don't come down from here among the unwashed, but no, I'm teasing. I'm so teasing. We had an elder at Greenwood who used to talk about there was the washed and the unwashed, but I love standing here watching. I love standing here watching that interaction and that, and what a great thing that is. Most of you know, I preach at Goshen Community Church, just on down Spearsville Road, about 10 miles and then to the left. And Carol goes down and plays piano. My wife's there. And then there's about four or five other ladies that are there. And our fellowship always takes place before. They're all talking, and we did this, and we did you know about this? And so every once in a while, I have to just stand up and say, okay. The sooner we get started, the sooner we're out of here. And that usually quiets them down. But, you know, here's one. And this is going to sound crazy and out of left field. Does your garage door opener work? Do you get in your car and push a button and your garage door opener works? Mine doesn't. It is the bane of my existence. There are times I just want to take it and throw it out the window, and it might work from there, but it doesn't while I'm in my car. But anyway, there are a lot of things that we just take for granted that God does for us and blesses us with. And so when God said to the Israelites, "My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you?" That sounds something like my mother would say to me. What have I done to you? What have I ever done to you? Or teachers. I had teachers at school that would say that occasionally. Why don't you behave? What have I ever done to you? Well, you usually stand up there 45 minutes and talk and don't let me. And so, anyway, one of the main reasons that I went into the ministry was because it was hard for me to sit still during church. It was hard. And so I thought, well, I might as well just be up talking and even get paid for it. So, but anyway, that God is so good to us. And so sometimes he has to kind of be sarcastic with us. I don't know if you've ever thought about God being sarcastic. What have I done to you? How have I burdened you? And then he goes on and tells them all the things that he has done for them and the things that we should do for him. And that's found in the 8th verse. And sometimes we wonder, well, what can I do to please God? And I've often done some things and thought to myself, I bet God was proud of me when I did that. And or I wonder if I surprised God when I did that. No, I didn't. He's known all along. He's known as what we're going to do in that. But he tells us three things in verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. So at this point, God has already shown the people what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? And in just a couple of sentences, to act
do the
just thing. To act justly is doing the right thing even when nobody is watching. To do the right thing when it would be so much easier to not do the right thing. To act justly and to love mercy. We're always pretty glad when mercy is shown to us. And hopefully you're glad when mercy is shown to others. But God has shown mercy to all of us, hasn't he? He loves us. He likes us. He forgives our sins. He forgets them. He is always with us. God is so merciful to us. Some of the translations say,
and
to
love
be
mercy.
Kind. Kindness is something that's in short enough supply that people have signs out in their yards.
I be kind.
I'm a hospice chaplain, and our office is in Franklin. And so two or three days a week, I'm in the Circle K store there along 31. And they have a sign on their door that says, please be kind to our employees. And I thought, good grief, have we gotten to such a state that they have to put a sign out for us to be kind? I don't know about you, but I've seen people that weren't kind. I've seen people in restaurants treat their servers as they were their own servant. And they don't like anything that they're brought. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too much. It's not enough. And I always just feel bad for them. One of the things that we do, we eat out every Sunday with a group of people. And for years, when our server comes to the table, I always ask what their name is. And then I say, when we get our food, we're going to pray for it. Is there anyone or anything that I can pray for you about? And some of those people are stunned that somebody's asked them that. And some of them are, you know, you're the second person today that's asked me that. But there, we can be kind. We can act justly and love mercy. And the third thing he says is to walk humbly with your
God. We don't live in a very humble time.
Everybody is proud of themselves and proud of what they've done and proud of what they think they can do and so on and so forth. And there's not a lot of humility that goes on in the world today, or at least in our part of the world. We think that we are something special. Sometimes it's because our parents have told us you can do anything. You can be anything. You know, that's just really not true. You know, there's some things that we can do and there's some things that we can be, but we can't be anything. And we can't do anything, but we live like we are so entitled, better than anybody else, and to just for people to not bow down to us, that would be a little much. There are some people who would accept that, though. But what humility is something, and humility is not being meek and mild and letting people treat us as a doormat to wipe their feet on. That's not what it is. Philippians, Paul wrote, think of others before yourself. Act like Jesus and came to earth and humbled himself even to death on a cross. We have the very best example of humility that ever lived. Whenever I think more of myself than I should, I am reminded of what Jesus did and how he lived and how he loved and how he acted. You've all probably thought at some point or another what you would do if you knew you only had one day left to live. Have you ever played that game? Well, if I only had one day to live, I'll tell you what I'd do. And it's usually quit our jobs and tell our bosses off and all of those things. And then somebody wrote this and said he knew he only had one day left to live, and he washed feet. That's what Jesus did when he knew he only had one day left to live. He washed his disciples' feet. We need to be servants. Jesus told his disciples at one point in time, if you want to be great in the kingdom, and who doesn't? I want to be great in the kingdom. I want to be in heaven and Moses say, oh, there's Perry Anderson. Do you know what he did? Or Noah or any of those people. And then Jesus, you know what he said? If you want to be great in the kingdom, you must be a servant. It's easy for me to be a servant to the people that I love. It's just easy for me to do that because I love them and I would do anything for them. But he adds that of all. We are to serve each other. You think of the people that you care the least for, and I hope that list is really short. We're to be a servant to them if we want to be great in the kingdom. How can I serve? What can I do for you right now? What can I do for you today? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, I'm so very, very grateful of the wonderful things that you do for me every day. Things that I don't even think about, things that I take for granted, but things that I know that you love me and that you like me and you forgive my sins and you remove them as far as the east is from the west and you remember them no more and you will always be with us and never forsake us and hundreds of other things. And you've told us three things that we can do: act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you. Father, help us all to take those words to heart. Help us all as a new year approaches and we get another chance to live for you. And sometimes it's hard when we think about it for the whole year, but just help us to think about it just day to day. Thank you for loving us in the kind and gentle way that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing "Just As I Am."
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched one, like riches he, lean of the blind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
I'm so glad to see you all here. I'm so glad to be able to be here. And let's close with "God Will Take Care of You."
In every time, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of the love of God, God will take care of you. Take care of you through every day, for all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.